Tonight we get to have Dr. Anderson, and I know he gets criticized, and I think it's wrong, for bragging. And he said, God, I'll give you back everything, and then I'll travel the country telling everybody what a great God you are. And he has. He's a soul winner. He leads he leads people to Christ. His track that he's used for 50 years is out there on that gospel track. The gospel track he's used. He's a soul winner. He loves the Lord. And no, I don't think I've never heard him brag. I've heard him testify. I've heard him try to encourage with, hey, if God could use an uneducated coal miner, then what could God do with you? Right? No college education, but what would happen? This has been his example. What would happen if you gave yourself to the Lord like he has? If God's done that with him, his testimony has been, then what could God do with you? Amen? So I've never heard him brag, but I'll tell the story because I don't think he tells it enough, and you've heard me say it, but it needs to, hopefully it'll sink in a little bit. I was told in Bible college, four preachers in history, in 2,000 years, they said four men have led over 1 million people to Christ in their ministry. Started with D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, and Jack Hiles. So we all, as preacher boys, we thought, wow, that's pretty, wow, that's, boy, Lord, hope you could use me to do a fraction of that, right? Then, in 2000, Dr. Anderson sold everything he had, $40 million worth, gave it all to the work of the Lord, and went in to full-time preaching, just as a layman now, not as a trained pastor, not as a trained preacher, just as a layman testifying for God and telling of God's goodness, loves the Lord. Since the year 2000, he has paid soul winners in Mexico and the Philippines to go soul winning 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And in a third world country, you can get more for your money than in America, right? Stupid $15 labor minimum wage socialistic. Yeah. But what now?
Four for a dollar.
So he his soul winners, 200 now, Mexico and Philippines, going from Monday through Friday, leading, they've had as many as 4,000 people saved a day. This year, the numbers he showed me, they had 3,400. It fluctuates, but they had 3,400 people saved a day. Now, that's what Rick Martin and Kevin Wynn write the letters. Dr. Anderson, your money this month has given this much. The soul winners have done this, and they just report the numbers. He doesn't. And there's preachers that are so critical of that, and I think it's wrong. Because they haven't. We don't see that here in America. This is, you understand? We don't see that. We go out and give out gospel tracts, and sometimes some of them are thrown on the ground, some of them are taken, some of it's, but we don't see a hunger. You go to the Philippines, pass out Bibles, pass out tracts, they run out. Then people are still saying, can I have one? We're sorry, they're all gone. We don't see that here. Amen? So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is it's something that it's I've only seen Dr. Anderson say, how can I get the most souls for a dollar? What can I get the biggest return for? Eternity. And God laid that on his heart, and he's the only one that I've seen do that. And so, Dr. Anderson, thank you for your example. Thank you for your encouragement on what God can do with an uneducated coal miner, and you can come preach to us, okay?
It's amazing what God can do through us if we'll just let him do it. As I said this morning, give God a chance to prove himself. Yes. Imagine an uneducated coal miner, never heard the gospel until he was 28 years old, and then heard the gospel, and was told, if you don't get saved, you're going to burn forever in hell. And I didn't want to go to hell, so I got on my knees and asked Jesus, forgive me my sins and save me. And then what you just heard from the pastor here, I'm going to teach you tonight some things and the reason why it happened. I'm going to teach you the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. What you heard him say tonight is because someone taught me the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It says, I think I had one other Bible. Yeah, the other Bible. I got two Bibles like this. And so I let one rest while I use the other. And so, but the doctrine, I was taught, again, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And so, by the way, let me ask you a question. I don't know what I'm going to do. Who's the parents here of this boy and his sister played the piano? Oh, I'm going to send a lot of more children there. Come here, buddy. I'm going to tell you something. Come here. Why don't you go out and buy you a Big Mac? There's your $20. Take your sister one. And the girl that played this morning, another girl. See, back there?
That is Hannah. They're out of town.
Well, you give that to her.
Okay.
Impromptu, the other night, he was out there where I was, and I gave two girls $1,000. Dr. Fugate's daughters, and they come. I didn't know them. They came to Hawaii. Dr. Fugate had saved his miles on airlines. He got to come over to Hawaii, and you heard this about the graduation at the Commonwealth. And he's got one daughter, Laura. She's, getting ready to go in high school, I guess, pretty close out of eighth grade. The other one, she graduates from high school this year. And so Dr. Fugate also, he got free motel over there. He stayed in motel so much, and so he had points saved. I didn't know the daughters. I wasn't know him. I'd met him on the street. But he had a compact car rented. And also, they rented, the girls wanted a Jeep. And, oh, a mule rides better. An old wagon rides better than that thing. I used to ride a mule. And here we was. He was driving, him and his wife in the front. And I was right in the middle of those two girls in the back sitting on that hump there. And they began to sing songs. And like you sing tonight, scripture songs. And so then Dr. Fugate said, sing this one. Sing this chorus. And boy, they'd sing. And when he would stop, they'd be walking along. And they were filled with music so much that where they just burst out singing. And I sat there for a week. And then we went to the flea market. If you ever go to Hawaii, where the USS Arizona is there, at Pearl Harbor, where it sunk 1,100 of our boys are still in. And right across the street, instead of coming back east towards Waikiki Beach, you turn left one street at Salt Lake, goes right down to Aloha Stadium football. They got all the way around that, they got shops, and it's all new stuff in all them countries. They've got anything you wear, your husband, your children, that, and you wear, you can buy Hawaiian shirts for $12, $14, or you can go uptown and pay $29 to $39, $49 for that. It's a tourist trap up in Waikiki Beach. That's all it is. And so we went to that flea market, and I bought them one of them ukuleleums. I don't know if it's sent or not, and so this. And all I hear, boy, they there, and that youngest one over here on that side, I'd be like that, and that end of that thing going in front of my face. But all I heard was music. All year. And I'll tell you what, when I had revival, I was wondering what caused that. And so they left, and so when they was leaving, I began to cry. I never had seen them before. I said, what happened? And they'd been singing a scripture to me. That word I've made in my heart, I might not sin against thee. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharp two-edged sword. I said, I had revival.
Amen.
And I said, what can I do to reward those girls? And I thought about it. And so down when I was speaking at the graduation, I recognized them. And they didn't know it. And I called them up and I told them, I said, because you never one time disobeyed your mom and daddy. Now listen, young people. They obeyed mom and daddy. Children obey your parents in the Lord that you may live long upon earth. And they dressed like ladies, young ladies. And I said, Leah's oldest one. I said, Leah, you're going to go to college next year. And I heard you and daddy, you had to work your way out to college just like all the rest of you, pay your way. And I'd like to give you $1,000 because you obeyed your mom and daddy. Because that you sang Christian songs and brought, and just had revival to me. And I gave her sister, you put this in before yours where you be there. And so I like to do things impromptu. And so I'd be very proud of you and your boy and the girl. I heard that piano. I sat down there and jumped up. I thought it was a girl. And so, boy, he was really making it. And then watched the piece of the girl. I think I just docked all three of them and take them to Hawaii. All that played this morning. And it really blessed my heart. And so, talking about, how many ever heard the story, been filled with the Spirit? Been filled with the Spirit? Now, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within. Now, we know that. And I could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it says, know ye not your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your body, that's the most of it. I remember. So you're not your own, you're bought with a price, and your body's not your own, it belongs to God. When you get saved, it belongs to God. And so, even the church of Corinth was an ungodly church, a worldly church. But yet, you know, you're not your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, so the Spirit comes when you get saved. Yes, you say the Holy Spirit automatically comes in. But then we hear this thing, you be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I think I'm going to start in Luke 24 tonight. Luke chapter 24. What time are you going to stop? Is 8:15?
Seven fifteen.
You can stop at 8:15, 8:30, 8:45. Okay, pull about midnight. Pull on my coat. Oh, now, okay, the disciples. Now, let me teach you something. Have been taught me. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 or 3.5 years and heard all the sermons that Jesus had preached. It looked to me like if anyone was ready to go out to preach, it should have been them, shouldn't it? And so I'm about to turn over there, but I wanted to read this to you. Jesus spoke in Luke 6, and he spake a parable of him, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater than thee, there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. Now, I don't see anything wrong with this man's life here. He worked hard, he's a farmer, and he put up his crops. But then here's what he said, verse 19, and I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. God called him a fool. But said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that left up treasure for himself and not rich towards God. You young people are rich toward God. I heard you pay the penalty. Your dad and mother are strange. I'd give $1 million tonight and wouldn't have to borrow the money if I had a dad and mother raise me the way that they're raising you. Amen. I know. My dad and mother fussed and cussed one another all their life, an unhappy marriage. And so, but I grew up in that. But a lot of people, they fight, they hit their wives. So I married mine, love on. I never hit her time. I felt like killing her a few times. I'm confession is good for the soul. And so, but here a man, it's not wrong to work and put up money. It's not wrong. And so to work hard and put up money, that's all right. Pay yourself. A lot of mistakes we make, you pay God 10%, but you don't pay yourself. You don't put 10% at least for a rainy day fund. And to do that, I taught it yesterday as someone, you need to have a budget.
Yes.
And the worst thing you can do is get married and not have a budget. You know, how many people come to me and want to buy houses? One time I built houses, about 500, 600, sold them. And I had 50 when I wanted to get rid of, I already paid for in 1999 when I gave all the real estate back to God. And people would come to me and say, Mr. Anderson, we like the house, we'd like to buy it, but our credit's bad. when we got married, we had credit cards. We just bought everything and got in debt. But now we finally paid out. We got good credits. Now that we paid, we don't have anything against the credit in the last 2 or 3 years. And we got $3,000, $5,000 saved. And we'd like to buy the house. And so I was, well, I can work out a deal with you then. You hear about to rent it with option to buy. I'll sign an agreement with you. And I'll take the $3,000. We're going to put it in a reserve fund. Now, I'm teaching something here now. We're going to put it in a reserve fund, the $3,000. And then I'm going to charge you. I want $900, I think it's $700 to $900 a month, some nine. Now I'm going to take $200, let me teach you, of that every month I'm going to put in your escrow fund. Okay, 2 times 12 is 2,400. 3 times 3 is $7,200. If you put $7,200 with the 3, that's $10,200. Now, at the end of that 3 years, you've got to pay me off. But then you go to the bank and get the money to pay me off. And so if you don't now, I'm not trying to pull anything over. I take the whole thing. They have to come back to me. If you're not going to buy it in 3 years, I'll trust you. And I never lost a deal. I never had to foreclose anybody because they'll resurrect grandma and grandpa before they lose $10,200. And so, but I worked out a way that they could buy their house. But the thing about it is you need to have a budget. That's number one. And so, here's a rich man, but what he did was he left God out of his will. Had no room for God. Made money his God. He died. He'd probably in hell. But Luke chapter 24, I want to read that a while ago. I'm glad that I got the victory over money and to help people. Amen. And so that's why I've given everything away when I die. I said this morning, I want to die broke. And what I have left is going to go to Kevin Wynn and Rick Martin when I die. And as I told yesterday, I told a lot of people, the worst thing you can have to die with is a will. There's people that has will. It has to be probated. Yes. And if you die and don't have a will, the will is the worst thing to have. The worst thing is not have anything because the court appoints somebody then, and the judge is going to appoint those that gave him a lot of money for the campaign and get him elected. And so the worst thing, but a will, but the best thing to die with a trust, irrevocable trust. That's what I have. And when I die, if I die right now, 10 days, my sister can take the death certificate to the bank and said, this is what my brother said. I got it written down in writing, what I want done with it. And I said, write the checks to two mission, but everything that's in that I have left. I want to die broke. So that way I got all the money invested for God before I live. But I'm glad I got the victory over not getting greedy. And so I ran with some great men. Men learn and talk. But back to this here now. He said, I'm going to get back to the message now. I've got to get on to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But it looks to me like that the disciples, would have been ready to preach the gospel. But in Luke chapter 49, let's see what Jesus said. Luke 24, 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. So, now he said you do. Now, I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 5 now. Acts chapter 1 now. Oh, over through. Somebody say something? Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. And then verse 8 it said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in the cloud and received him out of the sight. And they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as he have seen him go into heaven. Could turn up 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and tell you how when Christ is going to appear back in the clouds. But here he's talking much about the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when you know and surrender your life and be filled with the Spirit of God, it's Dale Moody said, the Holy Spirit dwells in all Christians. It's true when you get saved. There is another gift which may be called the gift of the Holy Spirit for service. Yes. This gift is entirely separate from conversion. I read 1 Corinthians 6:19. This is why God said, Dale Moody said, this is why God's children have no power. They have not the gift of the Holy Spirit for service. And so I'm going to talk to you tonight what happens when you have the power of God upon your life. I was walking last year, I think a year before, I kept up with it. That track he told you about that I have been using for 50 years, and it says like a reservation. If I was talking to you right now, I'd say, I'm going to get on an airplane tomorrow morning, and I'm going to go back to Detroit. And you can't get on that airplane. None of you can't get on it. You don't have a reservation on that airline. I do. And so you have to have a reservation, see a doctor, a lawyer, an attorney, and so you don't have a reservation. Now, I was in, the first Sunday this year, I was in Orlando, Florida preaching. I was having a haircut. The hair grows here. I don't know why this don't get bald, too. They charge me the same price. I feel like I get robbed every time I... All he has to do is you take a number two, just go up, bing, zip, zip. And so, bald here. But anyway, this cutting, and they got talking about the Bible. I told them in there, there's three or four chairs. And they got to thinking, telling about experiences and that, and how to go to heaven and that. And I jumped up, and I said, and out of my seat, I'm going to tell you all something. I'm going to go to the airport tomorrow and going back to Honolulu. And none of you can't get on that airline because you don't have a reservation. I'd be foolish to go to the airline and think I'm going to get on a plane. I think I told this yesterday. Without a reservation. And I'd just be just as foolish to die without a reservation in heaven. If you don't have a reservation, if you don't make it before you die, you're going to go to hell. That's it. And Jesus is the only way to... He's the only ticket agent. And so I told them... Now, going through this, 90 out of 100, I kept up with, bowed their head and made a reservation. Amen. I was walking in the airport in Manchester, New Hampshire, one morning. I sat and waited. I'd already got there early, and I was sitting over on this side. Most people were over there by myself. And some man was walking around with a big badge on it. You got a question, ask me. It's 445 in. And he's talking, he's public relations for the airport, I guess. And so when he got he saw me come over and said, how are you this morning? I said, I'm doing this fine. I said, well, I ask you a question. I said, yeah. I said, in a few minutes, I'm going to get on that airplane. I'm going to go to Detroit. And if it goes down and we all get killed, I want to go to heaven. Can you tell me how to go to heaven? He said, what? What? I said, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Can you tell me how I can go to heaven? He said, well, I guess just follow your faith. I said, I got a better explanation. Let me show you. But whosoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. I went through the plan of salvation with him, and pretty gladly he received Christ as his Savior. And he said this, Mister, I've talked to thousands of people in this airport. You've helped me more than anyone else I've ever talked to. I'm so happy I'm saved. And he's a famous author. He gave me his card, and he'd been speaking in Europe and a lot of places like that. But he said, I have. Now, that's come because there was a time in my life when I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which I get to. And so, you'll put on my coattail sometimes, will you? And so, I spoke down in Florida. You know Brother Porter in Ashland, Kentucky? Okay. He graduated from Commonwealth, Dr. Fugate. Dr. Fugate and I, we put up a tent to Kentucky and all through Kentucky there for 3 or 4 years and preached revival through Kentucky. And then we set these tents up and And they started them on Monday night, and we put flyers out and visitation and knock, and he had a big sign up, come here, a millionaire, and so speak. And so an old ex-coal miner, or something like that, and people would come. But in Ashland, Kentucky, we put this up, and right across the river from Arden, Ohio. And so we started a church there, and now we started on that tent. Now there's a church there running about 200, 250, and Porter is his name. I went down to speak for him a few months ago, last year I think it was, about a year ago. And the deacons were, they had a big problem. They brought me in there on Saturday night, and I had three deacons on this side, three on that, about buying a house. Some of them wanted to buy the house back of that, and some didn't. And I said, these three here, and he said, boy, you just see, there's a battle brewing. There's trouble. I said, well, how much would the house sell for? What do they want for it? I think it's $150,000. Something like that. And I said, well, how much could you rent it for? And they said, $700. Well, $700 a month will not amortize $150,000. If you say. And as they said, well, now we told you what you think. I said, give me it in the morning. Let me pray about it, and I'll have you next morning. About 5 o'clock in the morning, I called the pastor, 5:30. I said, no way should you buy that house. It's a bad investment. I would only pay $75,000 for it. That would amortize a mortgage. $75,000 would pay off. That's most of, from an investment standpoint, 10% to get it back. And so it got that, and so everything got relieved. And then when I spoke in Sunday school, and then when I spoke in the morning service, he said, here's what he said. He called me when I got back home. And he said, you never know what you did for my church. I said, stop it right there. I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit of God did it. I said this morning, I said again, it's unwise, it's foolish for you and I to try to take something for it, credit for it. God did in our lives.
Yes.
I said, the Holy Spirit did that. Now, and I said, if you're going to write me a letter, you write it. So he did. He said, God did it. What an amazing service we had last Sunday evening. I've not experienced such a service in the 13 years as pastor. You brought a great message to Sunday school Sunday morning. And through your message on Sunday evening, we were able to see the windows of heaven open. An offering of $10,000 and some dollars. Pledges were given on Sunday evening. Sunday evening, we were able to see three families join our church. They'd been coming for ages, had not joined. The Holy Spirit of God, they joined. They had two baptisms that night. And we've been able to hear several testimonies how the Lord blessed the sacrifice you're giving of people. And again, I'm going to skip a lot of it. Thank you for taking your time on Saturday evening to meet with us regarding the property in the house. Your wisdom was taken and prayed over, and we decided not to purchase at this time. And we did begin a faith promise paying. And so then he said, that's what the Holy Spirit did, you see. And so, therefore, now it tells the children of. I'm going to go back to Acts now, where that in the upper room and where that Christ told them, said, "You're not ready. Now you're not ready yet to preach. You go to the city of Jerusalem, and they'll be told you." And it says, and I'll repeat. It says, John, but I said. Acts 1:5, for you, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's just another thing. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They're surrounded, they're immersed by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:4, now look that there, it says, and they were all filled. Now 120 in the upper room, Acts 1:15, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That I used to shiver as a Baptist, and they began to speak with other tongues. It's so been misused there. But the word tongues there, and Dr. Rice, now I've studied after great men. I'm not very smart about it. If you're doing something, and if you know how to make good cornbread or banana pudding or something like that, you can teach me something. I'm going to watch you. I learn fast, but I'll watch it. And it says, here, so I went to Dr. John Ross's secretary, G-L-O-S-S-A, and the Greek means, I'll read the next verse, and then I explain to you. In other words, dwelling, verse 5, or diligent Jews from devout Jews, devout men, out of every nation on heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man speaking his own language. The word translated language here is the same Greek word as translated tongue. It's G-O-S-S-A, Dr. Ross says. It makes sense, as there's 13 or 16 different countries there. God wanted it so when they left there and went back home, they'd be able to take the gospel in their language to the people.
Yes.
And so they began, by the way, it was understood, their own language, they understood everyone's own language. And so this speaking in tongues, nowhere do I find in the Bible a woman ever spoke in tongues in the Bible. Now, I can show you where they prophesied. Let me teach you on verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because they heard every what? Okay, verse 6 now. I want to run it through again. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. A man. Only the men spoke there, and that was in a language that was understood with them.
Yes.
And so, Acts 2:4-2 there it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with their tongues, and the Spirit gave them out. I want you to turn to Acts 4:31 now. You find the same thing again. They were filled at the Pentecost. They filled, Peter was filled in fact 4:8. Now 4:31. He said, let me find it here, 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word. There, so the early Christian, they was filled and filled and filled. You can be filled by the Holy Spirit. And so they were filled. That's why that they was used so much to start the early church. I was on a cruise a few years ago with Kevin Wynn and his family. And on that cruise, I saw 17 people bow their head and ask Christ for forgiveness of sins and saved. Why? Because I was taught it's impossible for me to do anything until you have the power of God on your life or filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that comes from a complete surrender. And you surrender to God. You give yourself to Him. And as I said yesterday, I think if someone said it, but maybe this morning, Dr. Jack Hiles said, boy, and talked about what all he had accomplished. And they said, when somebody said about him, said, I would give the world for a testimony like you have. He said, that's what it cost me. It cost you the world. Now, to be used of God. Now, true enough, God let me make some money. I've given most of it away. 9% of my wealth I've given away. But but what he's taught me and what Dr. Howell said, but far as I know, I don't own anything right now. God is number one in my life. And I re-surrendered my life. I throw my chest open. I said, God, look on the inner part of me. There's nothing that I have that you, anything I have you want, just tell me you have it. If I gave you 302 apartments one time, give you a condo in Waikiki Beach where I made $1.7 million. But what I did, I signed it over to the Hiles Anderson College or somebody like that and let them sell it. I don't have to pay any tax that way. I get a gift certificate, you see, from them. And the best way to give money to God, if you can, if you got something appreciated, to give it, and Uncle Sam compensates your giving. But it happened. This, it says in also in Acts 4:37, talking about Barnabas, which has been interpreted as son of consolation. Verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But it comes, you have to surrender your life. And for 6 years, I heard Dr. Hiles and Dr. Ross preach about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And for 6 years, I prayed and wanted, but God did not give it to you. You got qualified in December the 2nd, 1966, at 6:20 a.m. I was sitting there. I was hungry. I wanted God's power. I want to show you what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Here's two old gloves. Can you catch it? Throw about it. Just two gloves. They're not much. Just two old gloves. Now, if something happens to them, I'm going to tell everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, look at the gloves. Now, what? They got filled with something.
Yes.
Until you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, as I said there, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the other languages. So that's what you need. You have to. It took me 6 years, December the 2nd, 1966, and the evidence of it was being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The evidence of it, I've been trying. There's a lady, her husband divorced her, wealthy, and so she wanted me to go see him. She was going to church and called me if I'd go and call. A lot of ladies would give me, when I started winning souls, they want me to go talk to them. And, would you go talk to Doc Kaylin, K-I-L-L-I-N? I said, yeah, I'll go talk to him. I went to see him twice and get him. And he drank so much, he's an alcoholic, and his blisters on his tongue, I seen him take a knife and split those blisters. He's, I don't know if he's on dope, too, I don't know. But I tried twice to get him to get saved. December the 2nd, 1966, 6:20 a.m., about noon that day or 1 or 2 o'clock, I forget the exact time, I was driving by his home. I went in. I said, I was just driving by. I thought I'd come in and see you. I said, have you ever thought about getting saved again? I've been talking to you. He said, yes, I have. Would you like to get saved? Yes, I would. I just went through a few scriptures. See, what I couldn't do before my own, but been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he worked on it. And then I took him to church. He got saved, took him to church, and he was going to get baptized 2 weeks later. And he died. But before he died, he called his ex-wife, Clarice, and said, I want you to know I just got saved. He called his mama in Alabama and said, Mama, I didn't know this then, and told her, said, you can quit praying. I think it was Alabama. Said, you can quit praying for me now. There's a layman, a businessman, came by and saw me, and I just got saved. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and save me. That's getting them by the skin of their teeth. But that man had been in hell if I hadn't gotten been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I was baptized, so that's what Doc Kagan. And so, D.L. Moody said this. How many ever read what D.L. Moody, when he was begging for money to build, he had a big fire in Chicago, and he was in New York City, Wall Street. He's begging for money from those rich men to build the college, build his church back. He said one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. D.L. Moody said this now. How many knows D.L. Moody of it? He got the Moody Bible Institute, you know, in Chicago. It's not what it was in Moody's there. They've changed it all around. It's liberal. I wouldn't let my dog go there now. And so one day the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it, D.L. Moody said. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred an experience to name. Paul had an experience of which he never spoke of for 14 years. You know, he was stoned at Lystra and left for dead, and some theologians believe he did go to heaven, but he never spoke about it for 14 years. He said, I can only say that God, D.L. Moody said, I can only say that God revealed himself to me. I had such an experience of his love that I had asked him to stay his hand. I went to preach again. The sermons were not different. He'd been preaching for 10 or 12 years. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He had the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life. And what you heard him say about me a while ago would never have happened. Those 400, there's over 2,000 churches. And what he read to you about the millions, and I don't do the counting. If you repeat what he said, and I say everybody this, I do the pan, I don't do the counting. But we got some, he knows most missionaries. I've sent all those millions to over there. They do the counting. And so, but it happened because I was praying one morning early in Waikiki Beach, Lord, I often ask God, what can I do with my life to count the most Christ? I think we all think it. Now listen, let me repeat that. What can we do to count the most for Christ? What can we do to get more people saved?
Yes.
See, that's what Jesus died for, and after he saves us, he wants us to tell someone else. It's normal. And so this is what happened to Dale Moody. He said, I went to preaching it again. The sermons were not different. I was the same, preached the same truths, yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before the blessing experience. If you give me all the world, it would be as the small dust of the balance. And so D.L. Moody would tell you what happened to him on Wall Street. And so it can happen, but it takes a complete surrender to God. You surrender everything to God. As I said, right now, Ford, I know there's nothing that I want between me and God. He can have anything I've got. Now I can look to him, God, I don't mind. You tell me what that I love more than I love you, and I'll give it to you. If I give him four and five all them apartments and houses, and give him the condos and several condos in Waikiki Beach, and I hardly ever sell anything, I always give it. Now, I pulled off a deal 2 weeks ago. I'd give him about 45,000, 50,000 piece of land I had for years. I made $180,000, but I signed it over to my charitable corporation. Don't have to pay any income tax. I give it just like it's a tax service. I put it from this pocket this. I still control it as long as I live, but the government makes me take 5%. It's a long story. I teach the trust. But if you got a will, you ought to burn it up and go to a revocable living trust. And the pastor, he's got enough knowledge, he can tell you. And he called me. I can help you. And so can he. I told him where to get the information from. How many ever saw Susie Orman on television? You? She's financial, right? Financial one. And so, by the way, she's worth about $60 million. But I was teaching this a trust before she was. But she's on television. And you can send for $99. And you send it to her, and she'll send you the forms. And I did it 3 or 4 years ago. How you can fill it out, but you don't need an attorney. You see, if you got a will, it has to be probated, and some wills have been in the courts 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 years, and not even the children gets the fighting over the will. But in my trust, you see, I've already taken care of my children. I put them through college. They've got nice houses and jobs. I've helped them and given them bonds. I've already given them their part. But now what I've got left, it can be settled in 10 days. My sister goes to the bank and said, my brother wants so much to go to Rick Martin, so much to Kevin Wynn, their mission. Rick Martin's BIMI and the other one is American. And it's settled. Now, if I had a will, it'd have to go to the judge. It had to be appointed, go through probate, and then he approves. The judge has to approve the distribution, the way that you put it, but if nobody contests it. If anybody contests your will, they can hold it up. Yes, sir. So I don't have a will. It can be settled in a few days. If you don't listen to no attorney, you have your revocable trust, and I've already told the pastor here, he knows about it. And of course, they want to represent you. So they're going to go down. They're going to charge you about $300 to $500, depending upon how much you got in there. An hour, $500. They're going to sit over 3 or 4 hours and get to see the judge, and the judge will hear the case. And so, then somewhere down the line, he appoint a trustee or something. He gives you okay, but a trust you can just sell it overnight. I told you it's 10 days. It should be settled. Unless you have a house, then it has to be sold or divided, but the money can be given away. But if you give the house in one particular place, then it don't have to be, it would be issued right then. But anyway, it comes, the experience comes, and from that, and been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and Dr. Killian was saved. And here it says, is a few practical steps to been filled with the Holy Spirit. I study every book I can on the Holy Spirit of God. I still want to learn. Here's a few practical steps. Being filled with the Spirit is a daily decision. Begin every day by constantly and verbally yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. Ask Him to fill you and control you throughout the day. Acknowledge His presence and Lordship in your life. Acknowledge to the Holy Spirit that you need Him. Consider beginning every day by praying something like the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for being my comforter and guide today. As best I know how, I yield myself to you right now. I ask you to fill me and control me, lead me, guide me, and I need you today. I choose to be the servant of the righteousness. I choose to follow you today. I choose to live in the Spirit, to be spiritually minded, and I ask you to have complete control in my life today. Now, if we don't pray something like this, and I said this yesterday, today, I think so. If we don't pray, if we don't turn our life over to God in the morning, ask Him, the Holy Spirit of God, to guide and lead us, we leave an open door for the devil to come to us. But when you get the Holy Spirit surrounding you, it says in Job chapter 1, they're having a prayer meeting and the devil showed up. The devil shows up uninvited. He don't need an invitation. God said, what are you doing here? Oh, he said, run to and fro, they're having the earth. He said, have you considered my great servant Job? There's none like him. He's the richest man in the world. That's right. He said, well, you got a hedge about him. That word hedge, I know I said it yesterday to someone, or counseling some of us. Hedge meant he had a bunch of angels. You can't get to him. You take those angels away, and he said, I'll take him away, and say, he'll curse you. I said, all right, I'll give you, you can't kill him. I'm going to take him away. And you know what he put Job through? But Job ended up, he had twice what he had before of the servant. And so that is the reason, is because of the baptism or been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Dale Moody, you heard him say he's credited, fourth grade education, he's credited with having over 1 million people saved. Because after he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I ought to produce a thirst in you tonight. If you want to get more done with the Holy Spirit of God, and when you can take an uneducated coal miner, what he's done, now remember this, I said what he's done, not what I did. I'm not going to take credit for it. And what the Holy Spirit does, and by the way, God loves all of us the same. Salvation is free. You don't have to work for salvation. But if we get saved, we're going to be rewarded according to what we do with our lives if we're saved. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, the introduction, what time, Chris?
Anytime.
Anytime? What time's breakfast? See, I'll tell you what he's got on me. He's been to college. He knows those big $2 words. I just know 2-syllable words like money, apartments, drywall. And so it takes me longer to say something, you see, to him. But again, now make sure of this. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's got to work through it. I can't do it. And when 9 out of 10 people bowed their head and asked Christ to forgive them, it didn't happen until I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so I was in Lexington, Kentucky. I was in Commonwealth Baptist College, and there, and I'd spoken there on Sunday on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I was studying the scripture, and I was speaking that night to a big conference up in Metro, the church up there, and a lot of big speakers going to be there, and I was nervous. I don't proclaim to be a preacher. I got a pretty good testimony, I tell them. I'm still working on it. And so I had a sermon is on laying on of hands. And I spoke that night about laying on of hands, and one of the famous preachers, I mentioned the name, you know him, he came, he would platform on me to put my hand on him and pray on him. Invitation lasted 45 minutes. That's what the Holy Spirit did. Then, 2 weeks later, I was speaking for Dr. Jeff Owens in the Fresh Oil Conference, and they already had me advertised. One checkbook is not enough. And so, that I was going to preach that sermon. That morning, the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to speak that sermon. I want you to preach laying on hands. I said, hey, if I don't speak that sermon, they'll never have me back, Brother Owens and them. They've already advertised. And he said, I'll take care of them. You should preach. I said, well, give me a sign. When Gideon wanted to, you want him to do something, he wanted a sign. And I said, you answered his question. Now give me a sign. Within 10 minutes, Dr. Ray Young called me, Howells Anderson College, he's the president of there for a long time. Great Christian. Said, Brother Anderson, he said, that sermon laying on the hand you preached up in Belleville, Michigan, and the invitation 45 minutes, he said, would it be all right if I had that that CD get to, and have and give it all my preacher boys. What happened? I said, yeah, it'd be all right. He said, that was a sign. I got up that night and announced it. And when I got up, Brother Owens had me a card, 35 minutes. And I preached up on the laying on of hands. And I mentioned it to your pastor here the other day, and he was there. When I preached that sermon that night, 32 minutes up, and I was getting ready to get that microphone to him, Brother Owens here, and here the people came, over 300 people. Everybody came to the altar. It lasted 1 hour and 5 minutes. God really filled that place in it. The Holy Spirit of God. That's what can happen. And it's an hour and 5 minutes. And so he gave me 35 minutes I had written down here. And so I called Brother Owens the next morning. I said, Brother Owens, I tried to give you that microphone to your back. You gave me 35 minutes. I was trying to, but he's down front. And the ladies coming, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of tears and that night. And so I said, to Dr. Owens, I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit, be you not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So it's wrong. If 5:18, I go on. I've got two or three more pages. I'll come back. You come back to me next year. But let me tell you this in closing. And so the Holy Spirit of God, it happened because I fasted and prayed, and what the Holy Spirit of God did that night. And he told me, Brother Owens, I said, I'm trying to give it to you. He told me to give you 35 minutes. He said, Brother Anderson, he said, the Holy Spirit just used you last night. You have to preach two seasoned preachers. That's he and Brother Dominic. And so, so the result of what you heard tonight is getting to know the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to be used of God, and your pastor can tell, Dr. Jack Hiles has a book on the Holy Spirit. Dr. John R. Rice has one on the power of Pentecost. I have it studied. I didn't have any education, but the men that God was using, I began to hang around them. I began to get their books and study them. Now, to have the power of God, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it's available, but there's a price to pay for it. You know how many nights in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, I lived in Hawaii in the winter, 3 to 4 weeks, and I fly all night long Friday night. It's 8 to 9 hours, fly from Honolulu to Atlanta. I come in there after 8 or 9 hours, all night long on the airplane. And sitting up, I won't pay $3,000 for years for a first-class seat. But I've changed my conviction on that this last year. I'm getting so old. And that when first-class, that seat lays right down just like a bed flat. It scoots right back down there. And I did pay $3,000 or something round trip to right this year. I've decided I'm not going to sit humped up at my age. I've gone 89. And so I've deserved, and I give so much money away, I'm going to treat myself there. But flying all night long, and then getting into Atlanta, sitting there 2 or 3 hours and flying somewhere, sometimes 17, 18 hours of getting to where I speak down in that. Then I speak 3 to 4 times, and then I get on an airplane Monday and fly right back. But there's a price to pay to follow Christ from day to day, to reach the lost and count the cost. There's a price to pay. Now, because of that, my family, practically all of them is in heaven. That already died. And what is not, they are saved. All because of one man that wasn't a Christian in the entire family. Our body's not our own. It belongs to Christ. Glorify God in Christ. Our Father, pray by our heads. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for what You've done through us. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for us. And You prayed such a cross, Jesus. The least we can do is show our appreciation by serving You, by paying the price to get Your power so that we can be used of God. With our heads bowed now, no one looking at me, how many would say, Brother Anderson?